sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Man, there are so many great conservative politicians out there these days that are jumping to the forefront, and we're seeing what they're about and what their policies are, and they're getting heard, that it's very exciting and encouraging. There seems to be a real nice tailwind as this, I don't know, I can't say that it's new, but this growing sentiment for the American people seems to be, this isn't working, what we're looking at. We're looking for alternatives, we're hearing it, and we're seeing some of these people, and we like it. We know who these folks are. We know who the first was. The first was Trump. But we've seen so many people in his wake now coming along. Ron DeSantis is the news. We'll get to him in a moment as Florida's passing even more laws that are making people on the left's heads just explode. These will get some legal challenges. But the one person out there who maybe is more meat, if you will, more just totally substance than style, In a way, that's great. And in a way, it's a little bit sad because he was a little more flamboyant, a little more personable, a little more of a politician. I mean, you could write this guy down as becoming president. I don't think it will happen, but he may be the smartest guy in the room. And I'm trying to remember the last thing that Josh Hawley did that I didn't like. And this guy is just flat on it. And he's clearly a leader of many of the senators, certainly conservative senators. He is out on the forefront. He says things that are smart when he makes a decision and votes a certain way. He defends it beautifully. He makes a perfect argument and defense that is articulate of his position that is very hard to refute. The left tries. He drives them crazy. He mostly drives the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Kansas City Star crazy. But on a national level, there are more and more media outlets that are just going bonkers over the things that Josh Hawley says and does. His latest is also backed by Roger Marshall from Kansas, who a lot of people in Kansas that voted for him thought that he was a conservative light. And one of the reasons they didn't want to vote for Roger Marshall in the primary before becoming a senator was, we're just not sure we can trust him as a conservative. What Kansas have clearly learned very quickly is that Roger Marshall's as conservative as anyone in the Senate. So is Josh Hawley. The other senators in Kansas and Missouri are, it's hard to call them rhinos, but it's possible. If you want to link them in and say, we're not big fans of Jerry Moran in Kansas or Roy Blunt, who's retiring in Missouri and will likely be replaced with somebody more conservative in Missouri. If you want to say you don't like them or you think they're rhinos, I'm not going to argue with you. I think you can make a fine point. The latest is this. The Senate voted in his passing $40 billion to Ukraine. More, $40 billion more, by the way. After all we've spent and all we've done, and everyone telling you that Ukraine is winning this war, even though Russia occupies about a fourth of the country now, that Ukraine is winning the war, and they've certainly done a great job defending themselves and not having their country fall in 2 weeks' time, as a lot of people thought would happen. They've done all those great things, and America's war chest behind them is the reason. Yes, there's bravery. Yes, Ukrainians have made some smart moves. But make no mistake about it, the Biden administration has even leaked it and bragged it that we are fighting this war. Their soldiers are executing it, but we're doing this for them. It's our intel. It's our equipment. It's our strategists. It's all these things taking place. We are at war with Russia, which is unsettling to me, probably unsettling to you. We know where this could lead. There's reports that Vladimir Putin is sick. We don't know what would happen if somebody else takes over. It could be worse than Putin. In fact, it's likely that it will be worse than Putin. It will be some hardliner that, you know, tries to make a name for himself right out of the gate and says, I'm in charge. These things are all possible. If Putin goes down, if Putin is incapacitated, it's very, very scary. The Senate is approving $40 billion more for Ukraine. That is 10 times the Ukrainian military budget. Ukraine has about a $4 billion a year military budget for the entire military, and we're sending them 10 times that. The amount we're sending on this latest effort is three times what all of Europe combined has sent to Ukraine. So we're it. The rest of Europe is not out, but it's the same thing. They're grifting off of us, or as Josh Hawley says, Europe is freeloading off of us. This is what we're doing. We're doing this again. Josh Hawley is voting no on this aid package. Roger Marshall is voting no on this aid package. The other two senators, Moran and Blunt, will support it. That's why it's all going to pass. That's why it's all going to work. And Ukraine's going to get all this money. Josh Hawley said, spending three times what all of Europe has spent combined is not in America's interest. It neglects priorities at home. He referred to it as Europe freeloading again off the United States. And that's correct. He's dead on. Look, I want to help the Ukrainian people. I don't want Russia to take over Ukraine. But again, we just don't have a national security interest there. We don't. We don't have something there that says, wow, America has to stop this or we're in real trouble at home. Because we're in real trouble at home and spending $40 billion doing this. I can think of a lot of uses of this $40 billion in the United States that would help Americans way before we can do what we need to do in Ukraine. Much of this will not be overseen. The oversight on this is terrible. About a third of it is just straight cash to Zelensky. Spend it how you want. Here it is. Here's cash for you. A lot of this is us sending our people, training our people, sending more weapons, being involved with intel, spending money on helping them with the military cause. We couldn't be holding up a sign or a billboard any higher or more loudly to Vladimir Putin that we're at war against you. I won't say that the United States is taunting Vladimir Putin because that's not really what we're doing. We're just trying very, very hard to win this war without having our soldiers go fight it or our airplanes flying in that airspace. This is a strange conflict. It's a very strange conflict. And I understand the moral dilemma, how badly we want to help these people who've been attacked. I get it. I'm there with you. I want to help those people too. They have had a lot of time to flee. There will likely be an opportunity for them to return home. I know it's hard to flee your home, leave your country, whatever. But I don't think it would be a hard decision for me and my family to say, look, we're out of here. If the rule is I got to stay and fight, whatever, or I stayed and fought, that's one thing. But my wife, my daughter, my kids, get out, go, 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 whatever. We've seen a lot of that in Ukraine. It's $40 billion is a lot of money. It doesn't sound like it. We talk in trillions now in this country because our country is so wealthy. But the reason everything costs so much money right now is because we just keep spending government money that we don't have. And if we keep doing it, we're hurting Americans. It's not just us spending $40 billion of our money. It's what happens to everything else now in our country because we're spending more money as a government. We say this all the time. The difference between Democrats and Republicans is really simple. Democrats will tax and spend, but they'll spend more than they tax, although they love taxation. They'll spend it all knowing that it hurts the country and not care. Because when things go bad, they will simply frame it with their apparatus, with their media, with all of the support they have with the narrative in this country. They'll blame it on Republicans. And they'll get away with it. They'll say, Republicans are racist. That's why we have inflation. Vladimir Putin bad. That's why we have inflation. It's never them. They know their policies fail. They're not stupid, okay? These people know that the overspending and what they're doing is causing the economic harm at home. They know that people flooding across the border is bad for safety and security in this country. They know people will die. They know women will get raped. They know children will be harmed. They know all this and don't care. They will deflect and blame it on a racist past. And, you know, we have to allow these people in because we're morally on the high ground to let more people of color just walk into the country, regardless of the fact whether it's safe or secure. This is their game. It's never about doing right by America. Never. It's about doing right by their party. And that is a huge difference between Republicans and Democrats. A huge difference. Republicans almost always, even rhinos, even those you don't like, they believe they're doing the right thing by America. They're trying to help America. And that's not to say that there aren't Republicans that want to get reelected or think all the time about getting reelected or getting in power or grifting or making money off the system. Republicans do that too. I'm talking about the big picture, the gigantic tent of the party. What is the intent of the party? What's the intent of the Democrat Party? The intent of the Democrat Party is to become a uniparty, to be in complete control of the United States, to be one party that rules the country, and then whatever they say goes. We get another pandemic, or if they just declare a pandemic, we have to do what they say. This is what they want. That's socialism. It's tyranny. It's what they want. What Republicans largely want is to kick everything back to you. Throw it back to the states, throw it back to the voters, have freedom in America, be constitutionalists, and live the way we have lived for 250 years and made America as great as she is. That's what we do. The problem is, it's really hard to win elections that way. You're not buying votes. You're not doing as much for people. The government isn't doing as much for you because you're saying you should do for yourself, and the government shouldn't be doing it. Very John F. Kennedy, if you will. It's how the Democrat Party has changed. But I love Josh Hawley. I love what he's about. I love the things that he's done. He is very quietly becoming quite a leader in Washington, D.C., and someone who should be followed, that they should be watching and say, this is the guy. This guy has a lot of the right answers. Like DeSantis has a lot of the right answers, but DeSantis sometimes is just a flamethrower. It's political. He's somewhere between Hawley and Trump. They may all be America first. Josh Hawley's the understated Ivy League smartest guy in the room type that can always defend his position, but isn't always flamboyant and certainly doesn't go poking people or throwing bombs. Trump's the ultimate bomb thrower who a lot of times can't back up what he does because he's just so flamboyant. And then in the middle is Ron DeSantis, who has a little bit of both, and people love Ron DeSantis. He has now passed a law in Florida. This is under the heading of winning on the podcast today. He has passed a law that says in Florida, you can no longer assemble, protest, and picket in front of someone's personal property. In other words, you can't fill the sidewalk in the street in front of somebody's house. It's too dangerous. It's a public nuisance. They've passed this law. It's up to 60 days in jail and a $500 fine. I don't think this law will stand. I think the courts will strike it down. I know and understand that it is a law that says you cannot do this in front of a judge's house or a Supreme Court justice. We simply aren't enforcing the laws. This is obviously a reaction to what happened to the Supreme Court justices. So I'm with DeSantis in spirit. I love the fact that he's done this because it makes their heads explode. I support this largely, but I do think that Americans should have the right to assemble in front of somebody's residence as long as it's peaceful and it's not a nuisance to the public. I personally believe these things should be approved by local municipalities. For the most part, if you want to have a demonstration at the J.C. Nichols Fountain in Kansas City, you got to go get a permit. You have to register with the city and say, we're going to assemble. We're going to have this event. We're going to do this. And that's the way to do it. You don't have to. You can assemble without one and take your chances. But the way you generally do this is you say, we're going to have this event. Here we are. Here we come. Here's who our organization is. And you let them know so the city can be prepared. I'm pretty much with that. Flash mobs are certainly largely legal. But for example, in the case of my house, I live at the end of the street that's a cul-de-sac. I don't think they're going to allow you to go on the street and do it. There's a big open space across the street from my house that is undeveloped at this point. There's some lots over there they're starting to build. Maybe the city of Lenexa would say, if you're going to be in front of Keatsman's house, this is where you got to stay. We're going to rope it off. You can be over there and you can do it over there. You're not stopping traffic. You're not keeping the trucks from coming through that are finishing construction on a couple of houses on my cul-de-sac. You're not shutting business down here. You stay over here. Here's your designated area. Or a field. There's a giant field up by the clubhouse in our neighborhood that's undeveloped. Maybe they say, this is where you go. This is his neighborhood. You want to do a deal. You stay right up here. Other than that, we're going to ticket you. To me, that's all legit. And I think that's what DeSantis is trying to do. But I think what he has said now is not being able to be in front of somebody's house. If one or two people are standing in front of your house with a sign, is that against the law? No, it's scary. It is scary. And there are laws on the books that say you can't do it for judges. If this gets challenged to the highest level is the Supreme Court. What does the Supreme Court say? They know it's a law that says you can't do it in front of their house. If that's a law, shouldn't that law stand for any American citizen? And should we have a law that says this is too dangerous or threatening for any private citizens that you cannot, I don't know, picket or assemble within 500 feet of somebody's private residence? What would be a fair buffer? We know you can't do it on their property, but a public street, what is that exactly? Should there be a distance? This is something that we should take up, and we should take it up state by state. If it gets challenged and it goes federal, which I don't ever like, I think it should be state by state. State of Florida has spoken. They put a law in place. It will get challenged. They will find a judge that will throw it out, and they'll challenge it all the way up. Should it be legal? I mean, it's a hard question. I need to work more on this because I believe in people's right to assemble and free speech. I think it's very difficult. But I love Ron DeSantis that he's done this. I think he's done this more as a stunt than law that he actually believes is going to be legal and hold up to the test of time. Also under the heading of winning, how about this one? Asking Americans, will you stop using a product or service from a company that takes a political position? And it doesn't say a company that takes an opposite political position. Sometimes people get angry when a company takes maybe their own political position. They're like, you know, you just shouldn't stay out of it. You're angering people on the other side. I use this product. I like this product. Now I get identified because of what you're doing. So the question to Americans in a poll, scientific poll, these are likely voters. How likely are you to stop using a product or service over a company that gets into politics? 87% of Americans said they are somewhat likely to walk away from a product. 52% say they are very likely. Now, I've already done it. I've told you about a company, and I'm not 100% here. I've not walked away from every company. A lot of times for most people, and I think this is, you know, you can say I'm too much in the middle if you want, but for me, it's picking and choosing. I haven't gotten rid of my iPhone. I've told you I own Apple stock. Okay, there's a lot of things about Apple I don't like. A lot of things about Apple I do like. And I haven't found a replacement phone or devices for me personally that are as good that I know aren't involved in having parts or whatever assembled in China. I don't see the American-made phone. I don't know what that is. It's becoming harder and harder to split these things off and say, I'm just going to buy American. I drive an American car that was largely assembled 100 miles from America across the Texas border. It's a Chevrolet. I love it. I'm proud to drive an American car. That doesn't mean it's all American. So these things can become very difficult for us to do. Nike's one, the first one that I stood firm on. Like, I don't buy Nike. I threw my Nike stuff out, and I don't buy Nike. That's that. I just don't. That's my choice. I'm not saying the companies that I support, I know that they're great or all American. I think Under Armour in its core, I know its founder is a great conservative and it was at one point a great American company, but I'm not sure he's completely in charge or in charge in any way anymore. And if the company still has that fabric in it, but I choose to buy Under Armour products. I buy some Adidas products. They're a German company. I can't say that's better. I just know how bad Nike is. I made that choice a long time ago. So I find all kinds of products like that. I don't support Disney very much right now. We've talked about having a trip to Disney World with Jessica's nieces for quite some time. We've talked about that. If this comes up again and they say, hey, this is the year we're going, I'm not going to stay at a Disney property. I can tell you that. There's plenty of places in Orlando. I will not be staying at Disney World. Am I going to tell you that I won't go one day with my nieces to Disney World? I won't say that. I may do that. But I'll be off playing golf courses that are not Disney golf courses. I'll be staying in a resort that's not a Disney resort. I'll research it. I'll spend my dollars elsewhere. I'm not a big fan of them. I don't like what they've done. They should pay the price. I have stayed off Netflix because of their involvement in politics. But I got onto Apple Plus and I got onto Paramount Plus. Again, I can't defend all these positions. I'm just telling you that I'm this 87% of people that say, yeah, oh, I'm somewhat likely all right. I find out about you and I don't need your product, I'm out. I just am. You know, I use this microphone I have that I use every day and this board that I bought. I didn't know much about the equipment when I bought it. And I love it. It's outstanding equipment and it was not very expensive. It served its purpose beautifully. And it turns out the company is Australian. Well, I don't really have anything against Australia, but I watched during the pandemic and I thought, wow, are they oppressive to their people? That's pretty bad. You know, most electronics equipment is made in Japan or, you know, Korea or wherever, South Korea. These are Australian products. They're outstanding products. If I started over again, would I look for something today, all equipment that was made in America? Yeah, I probably would. There's a company called Klipsch that I believe is in Indiana that is a great American company. I love their speakers. I have a soundbar system in my home that I love by Klipsch. They're definitely an American company. Do they make this equipment? Maybe if I was starting over, would I buy it? Yes. But I love this. I don't have any problem with Australia. It's hard. You know how hard this is. But Americans are doing better, and they're more sensitive to this. And to me, that's just flat-out winning. You got to watch who you choose to do business with. That's just all there is to it. And I love that we are doing that. If you choose to get an MRI or a CT scan, there is only one good logical choice for you, and that's Advanced Medical Imaging. Starting to get emails from many of you. What's the name of that company again? What's the name of the company? Again, the name of the company and the website are two different things here. So as you Google it, it can become a little confusing for you. You can always email me about any of our sponsors. I won't say which sponsor, but we actually had a listener call one of the other sponsors and say, what's the name of that medical imaging place that Kevin's talking about? Because I don't know how to get a hold of Kevin. Well, it's real easy. It's Kevin at kkhasissues.com. If you have any question ever about any of the sponsors or want me to personally put you in touch with the owner of any of these companies, I will do that for you. I know them all. This is face-to-face business. We know these folks. They're great people. You're going to love doing business with them. So if you need to get an MRI or a CT scan fast and not wait 3 weeks in your hospital chain, Advanced Medical Imaging is the way to do it. They have the biggest, best, most comfortable machines for an MRI available anywhere. It's quiet. They have natural lighting. Why wait? All your insurance is accepted. The website is different than the name of the company. It's medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. Or just Google Advanced Medical Imaging, and you'll find out how easy this can be and how affordable it can be for you to get your scan quickly and find out what's going on. Cross Kitchens. Man, if you're thinking about the remodel now, interest rates are up on mortgages. The housing market is going to cool. People are going to remodel and stay in their homes. This is also a great thing. If you're considering a remodel in your home or a new kitchen, even if it's something as simple as we just want somebody to put in new countertops and refinish the cabinets, they'll do a small job like that, or they'll bust out walls and completely redesign your kitchens, build you an island and a great chef station, the whole thing. They can do it all. CrossKitchensKC.com. The only way I can say this about Tim Cross is he's a great family man. He's younger than I am, but he's been doing this for years, and he is a craftsman that really, really cares about your project. And it's not just the beautiful work that they do in the end. It's the care that they take in your home during the process. Most of their jobs, the overwhelming number of their jobs, are done in 2 weeks or less. They get in your house. They put everybody they have on your house. They get it done, and they move on because you don't want your house torn up for 3 months. CrossKitchensKC.com. Family-owned and operated, Belt, Missouri. You're going to deal with the owner. That is old school, and that is awesome. Call right now for a consultation, 816-898-7047 for CrossKitchensKC.com. And if you go to Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, you're likely to deal with the owner there. Mike Robinson is there most days. He's an awesome dude. Later on this Tuesday, I'm going to the Royals with my mom and my sister and my nephew. And Mike was kind enough to let me have his tickets today. So we thank you, Mike. Good dude. Looking forward to the game. Looks like the rain's going to hold off until maybe tonight, which is great. It's a day-night doubleheader for the Royals. We're going to the day game today with my mom. And I can't say enough about what a wonderful man this is and what a wonderful business he has. whether it's the incredible service in driving to your home, picking up your car, taking it to Excelsior, servicing it, and returning it to you. Who does that? Or offering a free lifetime warranty on your GM car, truck, or SUV. Lifetime warranty free. Who else does that? RobertsRobinson.com. It is the only place to build and order your new GM. Whether it's Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Roberts Robinson is the place, and it's truck month right now. 0% on Sierras and $750 cash allowance. You get all the discounts. You're buying your car less than sticker if you order it. That's the way to do it. RobertsRobinson.com. Okay, the California shooter. I won't spend much time on this. I don't like talking about shootings. We did this yesterday. I did a lot more on this yesterday on the Patron podcast. I thought it was a very good Patrons podcast yesterday about crazy people on the left using murder to basically gain notoriety for themselves. It's despicable. It almost should be against the law. There ought to be a law about a bunch of people getting killed, and we don't know who they are, but I'm holding a news conference. I can't name the people that died or tell you anything about them, but I'm going to stand here and let you feel good about me that I'm in charge now and I got this and it's all good, whatever, and I'm going to gain political points. We're seeing that everywhere. The common thread of all these people, as we talked about on the podcast yesterday, is a mental health problem. It's not one race over another. We have now learned that the California shooter that went into a church was a Chinese man targeting Taiwanese Americans over the China-Taiwan conflict. It's absurd. This is all ridiculous. That's a crazy person. That's a crazy person. It's sick and it's sad, and I hate seeing it. On Capitol Hill this week, we're having our first hearings in the House of Representatives with the Intel Committee, which is a oxymoron. The Intel Committee, for the first time in 50 years, is going to hold hearings on UFOs. I don't laugh about UFOs. The reason a lot of people laugh about UFOs is we think of them as little green space aliens in flying saucers from all of the television shows and movies that we've seen through the years. UFOs, in my opinion, we're going to be very careful here. In my opinion, UFOs are more likely something nefarious from this planet that we don't know what it is, that China's developed or somebody's developed, or maybe that we're developing and we don't want to tell people we know what it is. There's a lot of weird stuff going on out there. So I'm not a big UFO guy. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but it is remarkable that our government has documented 144 incidents since 2004 that are unexplained. And UFO, let's remember what this stands for, unidentified flying object. We've had 144 of them since 2004. Many of these now are caught on video. The pilots have cameras. They shoot them. They see them. People in the sky go, what in the world is that? And we basically say, we don't know. They may be ours. They may be China's. We act like we don't know. The blowback on these hearings, and the Democrats are largely pushing these hearings, I don't have a problem with these hearings, but we got to be really careful. The blowback here is not what you may say or what you may know. The problem here is if we get exposed for really what we don't know. If some of these objects in the sky or things are taking place by somebody that's watching us and understands that we don't know what they are or understand what they are, that's a problem. You don't want to go give intel out by having public hearings. Same time, you like to be transparent with Americans. For 50 years, the government has largely felt that Americans can't handle the truth, that we don't talk about this because it's too scary for most people, that we don't want to scare Americans that there's unexplained phenomenon out there that we have no idea what it is. This will be interesting to see what happens. We're definitely, in our lifetime, it's been very interesting to see us reach a point where the American population was largely naive about everything. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. We just want to live our lives, whatever. We now see and hear everything, that it's all out there in front of us. We have to be adults about this. And so now we're going to have UFO hearings. We also have the Top Gun movie coming out next week, which is phenomenal because we're going to see those Navy jets and some of the coolest visuals we've ever seen. At the same time the Air Force has announced the ARRW. This is a first for the United States Air Force. It is an air-launched missile, meaning you take the missiles up on an airplane, you're flying in the air with these missiles, you launch them from the airplane, and these missiles fly 5 times the speed of sound. That's the fastest ever. We're breaking new ground as we speak with the Air Force, the ARRW. Pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool that they've announced that the week before Top Gun comes out. I'm proud when I see these things. When I see a first, when I see the Air Force saying, we've never had a missile that goes 5 times the speed of sound, I'm good with that. I'm happy to see that. And I think it is a nice deterrent in many of these cases to let the world know what we have. I don't think we've let the world know everything we have. I don't. But it is nice to let them know, hey, we've got this. We just developed this. I always enjoy that. I also enjoy my new home, and I enjoy living in Lenexa, Kansas. But it did not make the list of best places to live in America. The best places to live in America are a lot of times overwhelmingly slanted toward affordability. And that's okay. That's okay. For many people, that's just item number one. Where can I afford to live? It's a big thing. Huntsville, Alabama has been named the number one place in America to live by U.S. News and World Report. It replaces Boulder, Colorado, which has won it many times. Boulder's getting expensive, as you can imagine, and the liberals have taken it over, which doesn't help. Huntsville, Alabama, I'm going to be pretty sure the liberals haven't taken that over yet, that it's pretty conservative in Huntsville, and it looks like a wonderful place to live. I've never been there, but the pictures attached to this story make it just look wonderful. They have parks and some mountains in the background and beautiful streams and rivers and lakes. It just looks gorgeous. The affordability rating is there. The weather is good. There's a lot of things about it. They got a great college football team in Alabama. The way of life largely in Alabama is pretty good. You can drive down to the beaches on the weekend and stay in Gulf Shores, and it looks pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Taxes are low. A lot of good things going on in Alabama. Number one place. But to take this with a grain of salt and not to feel bad about living in Lenexa, Green Bay is number three on the list. Now, I don't know how you feel, but that's a non-starter for me. Weather just wipes everything else out. It just does. It just does. It wipes everything else. Okay, it's affordable to live in Green Bay? No kidding. It's affordable. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm out on Green Bay. I'm never going to live in Green Bay. The closest place near Kansas City, if you're either listening in this area or originally from here, the closest place to Kansas City on the list in the top 10 is Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is a great place, great college town, beautiful place, been there many times, wonderful spot. And they do have a little bit better weather than we have, a little warmer there, winter's a little milder, pretty good. So you want to check that out. It's U.S. News and World Report if you want to look at the best places to live. Am I getting old if I'm starting to look at the best places to retire? And I mean, I'm telling you, I was always certain it would be Arizona, but Florida's looking better. There's places on that Gulf Coast that are affordable, and there's no income taxes there. That's a thing, man. That is a real thing. I'll tell you another real thing. It's a beautiful place in America. It should be a great place to live or retire. Would be the Smoky Mountains. Beautiful place. Smoky Mountain National Park. It's one of the most gorgeous places I've been. Visited there when my daughter was in college at Georgia. The kids that go to Georgia take weekend retreats up in the Smoky Mountains. Their frats and sororities go have getaways or whatever, and go up there. It is gorgeous. It's exactly what you say it is. You go up into the mountains, and the clouds are down below you in the gaps between the mountains, and it always looks like the mountains are on fire. They're this great Smoky Mountains. There's a beautiful, magical blue haze to the Smoky Mountains that are different than anything you've ever seen if you haven't been there. It's created by vegetation, rainfall, sunlight. Beautiful place to visit. A lot of great not resorts isn't the right way to say it. Cabins, Dollywood is there, so there's some theme parks. There are some things that are commercial, but mostly it's just throwback old school. And as you drive through the Smoky Mountains, you see cabins back in the woods where you know that guy's got a still back there and he's making moonshine. I mean, you just know it. It's crazy old school. Like, times haven't changed in a lot of places in the Smoky Mountains. They have not changed in 200 years. The people living there live a lot like they used to live 200 years ago. Yes, they have cars where they didn't have cars before, but their cars are like 1971 Ramblers or something. Or their Chevy Blazer is from the 70s, and it doesn't look anything like my Chevy Blazer. One of those things, right? Back when the Silverado pickup was small, that's what they have. They keep their car for 50 years in the Great Smoky Mountains. My friends Spencer and Steve at Finch Knife Company love the Smoky Mountains. When they design their pocket knives, what they do is they find something that is very American, something unique to people outdoors in America. The Chernobyl Ant series of knives is selling out. It's all but gone. Those are a nod to the anglers, most particularly fly fishermen. Chernobyl Ant is a fly. They designed some pocket knives after it with the colors and the markings. Their new series is called 1934, because on June 15, 1934, the Smoky Mountain National Park was made the Smoky Mountain National Park. So they have a new 1934 series of pocket knives that are an homage to the Great Smoky Mountains. You're going to love them. On life at FinchKnifeCo.com or at the Bullet Hole and Mission, Shields in Overland Park, or Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton. These guys come up with great ideas for their pocket knives. Again, the new collection is called 1934, and they're a tribute to the Great Smoky Mountains. Window World is our title sponsor. This is really simple. American-made windows, doors, and siding, 0% financing, and a lifetime warranty. That's it. You want to talk about an easy product to tell your listeners about? Well, first of all, their customer service satisfaction ranking is very high. Good housekeeping seal of approval. So their customer service is outstanding at Window World. Their people are great. But again, American-made doors, windows, and siding with a lifetime warranty at 0% interest. Yeah, it's time for you to call Window World, simply the best for less. Online at windowskansascity.com. It's 816-799-0820. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs and title sponsor of KKHI. windowskansascity.com. And it's a laptop extravaganza at B-Stock. This is nuts. They got a shipment of laptops and it's out of control. They literally have too many. Apple MacBook units starting at $399 all the way up to $2999 for the latest and greatest. They're a ton lower than anywhere else. Chris sent me this. He's the owner. He said, you just got to tell everybody, if you're even thinking about a laptop, right now is the time. We are loaded with them and we're giving them away. They have to go. HP, Lenovo, Microsoft Surface, Dell, 50% off from Dell. Laptops, half price, Dell laptops. No reasonable offer refused on a Windows laptop. They'll make sure it's by far the lowest price anywhere in America, 100% guaranteed. If someone has a business, even better, we'll cut you more of a deal. You want to buy a bunch of these for your company? They're going to slash it even more. Half price Dell laptops. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Those guys are amazing, and their prices are amazing, truly. All right, we spent a lot of time on the Patron podcast yesterday on the Royals' change with their pitching coach. When breaking news happens like that, when the Royals, hitting coach, when they get rid of Terry Bradshaw and hire Alex Zumwalt to be the hitting coach, we do a Patron podcast. We jumped on that yesterday, and we did a bunch. We did a lot on this. If you'd like to become a patron, you know how to do it. KKSissues.com. Just go to the browse in your browser, go to the website, sign up. It's $5. You get the breaking news podcast. There's 2 to 3 of those a week. We have Danny Klinkscale on every Tuesday. That will happen today. So there will be 2 patron podcasts in 2 days. I think you'll like them. I really do. I know you'll like the newsletter. It's worth $5. I truly, honestly believe that you'll like it. KKHasIssues.com if you'd like to sign up to become a patron. So I won't spend a lot of time on this change, but Dayton Moore got in front of the media, and it was really bizarre. You know, he's the team president, and J.J. Piccolo is the GM in charge of daily operations, and this was pitched as a J.J. Piccolo move. And he met with the media, but so did Dayton Moore. And Dayton Moore essentially went down and wanted to tell everybody in the media that the pitching's on me. This is a direct quote from Dayton Moore. The pitching's on me. We rushed our young pitchers to the majors. So Dayton Moore is saying, you want to blame this team? You want to look at something wrong? Look at these young pitchers. This is my fault. We rushed them. Interesting. Interesting for him to do that and try to take the pressure off others. Whit Merrifield was the most profound speaker the Royals had yesterday. He and other Royals players like Terry Bradshaw, who lost his job, Whit Merrifield said, it cost a good man his job because we, the players, aren't playing to where we should be. Merrifield went on to say that hitting coach is, quote, the hardest job in pro sports, unquote. That may be right. Hitting coaches are the first one to get blamed, the last one to get credit for anything. Do you ever remember a hitting coach getting credit for a team that hits? Or do you say, I looked this up last night because I'm going to the game with my mom today, and we keep having these discussions. She likes all Royals players. Like, I think the Royals have a Nicky Lopez dilemma. I'll get to more on that in a moment. But in a nutshell, it's this. The Yankees are 26-9. They've hit 52 home runs this year. The Royals have 21. We're not even a fourth of the way into the season. And the Yankees are hitting 2.5 times more home runs than the Royals. 2.5. 2.5 homers to one. And you want to know why the Yankees are 26-9? We can talk pitching all day. That's great. Baseball, if you mash it, you win in the regular season. Ryan Lefever mentioned this last week. He said, look, the Twins hit a lot of home runs in the regular season. They win a lot of games. Then they get in the postseason, they don't hit as many home runs because they're facing the best pitchers. All true. But if the Royals really want to be an exciting, fun, interesting 2022 team, you can't hit 21 home runs in 40 games. You can't hit one home run every other day. Most of them are solo home runs. You can't do it. They lost last night to the White Sox in extra innings because why? Because the White Sox hit a two-run homer in the 10th. The Royals didn't. Anyway, back to the hitting coach. Nobody's crediting the hitting coach. Can you name the hitting coach for the Yankees? Who's crediting the hitting coach for the Yankees hitting 52 homers? That credit goes to the front office. Signing free agents, putting a team together, getting a bunch of Bronx bombers that can light you up and hit 52 home runs in 38 games. That's awesome. That's what the Royals need to work on. Here's the Nicky Lopez dilemma. I've coined this phrase. Share it with your friends. Steal it if you like. The Nicky Lopez dilemma is this. You can like the player. You can like the hustle. You can like the person. But he's sitting there every commercial break as the player they're currently promoting that you could play video games against him, that the Royals are going to have their auction, and we're going to auction off your opportunity to play video games with Nicky Bobby is what they're calling it. Nicky Lopez and Bobby Witt. Nicky Bobby was Ricky Bobby was a racer, right? The Will Ferrell NASCAR spoof. So the spoof is we're going to do a racing video game with Nicky and Bobby, and you get to play against them. Nicky Bobby. Great. The dilemma the Royals have is Nicky Lopez should be the player that goes back and forth between Kansas City and Omaha. He should be your guy on the bench that sits there and waits to pinch run late in the game, go in as a defensive replacement, do something like that. Or back when pitchers hit, would be a great guy to go up and pinch hit, lay down a bunt for the pitcher. They talk about him as a gold glove shortstop, but the Royals put Mondesi out there in front of him. Now they're putting Bobby Witt out there in front of him. They think what I think. He's their third best shortstop. These are measurables. He's not tall enough. His reach isn't far enough. It's the balls he doesn't get to, folks. It's not does he handle it when it's hit to him. It's the ones he doesn't get to. He had a very costly error on Sunday in Colorado with a stupid decision and a bad throw from second base. I like Nicky Lopez. He just shouldn't be starting for a major league team. So he's batting like 190, right? And there's a bunch of guys hitting poorly. But here's the difference. Merrifield's struggling. Salvi is struggling. But they lead the team in RBIs. Salvi and Merrifield have 8 home runs between them and 31 RBIs. Salvi has 16 RBIs, Merrifield 15. That ain't great. I'm not bragging them up. Those aren't great seasons. But being unproductive and having terribly low batting averages, they've driven in 31 runs. Or 16 and 15 individually. Let's stay individually. Nicky Lopez is driven in 3. And you say, well, yeah, he's not an RBI guy. It doesn't matter. He comes up all the time with guys on base. And he is no threat to even hit a fly ball far enough to get a sacrifice fly. He is a useless hitter in any form other than go get on base for somebody else. Major League Baseball in 2022, they've changed their pitching coach. They've changed their approach. You cannot be a baseball team that has one player in your lineup that his sole job is to just get on base for someone else. That era's over. You have to be able to drive somebody in. If Zach Greinke had hit all year instead of Nicky Lopez, he'd have more than 3 RBIs. He would. I promise you he would. You can't have this hitter there. He comes up with guys on base, and it's just a wasted at bat. When pitchers really bear down on Nicky Lopez, like when there's runners on, when it really matters, he's like an 084 hitter. And if he gets a hit, it's an infield single. There is no pop in that bat. That's their dilemma with this team. If that's a starter on your team and a guy you're promoting for your auction to play video games against, you're not good enough. And I don't care that he hit 300 last year. It was a really weak 300. Everybody knows that it was a non-productive weak 300. You say, well, yeah, he got on base. Yeah, and he did a lot of damage late in the year when the games didn't matter. It'll probably be the same this year. He'll probably, if they plays all year, wind his way back to hitting 250 or something like that and wind up with 21 RBIs. It's just, you can't. It's just not the way the game is played. Like, I'm not real happy with Salvi and Merrifield, but at least they have 16 and 15 RBIs. Merrifield came up last night, hit one off the wall, knocked in a run. Salvi gets a hit. I mean, these guys, they still have pop in their bat that when they do hit it, it makes a difference. Difference in the game last night was a White Sox home run. You have to hit home runs. And I hope that's what they've done with Alex Zumwalt. They're stopping this thing that they used to have, keep the line moving, whatever. That ain't no good. That dump that. That's got to go. Give me a lineup of guys that one guy has a big night and you win a game. Give me a three-run homer. Give me a guy that goes 2 for 4 with 4 RBIs, bashed one off the wall, hit one in the seats. Maybe doesn't do it again for 5 days, but that's fine. I need a team full of those guys, not these little Punch and Judy hitters. Because, you know, if Nicky Lopez was hitting 320, it'd be different. But he's not, and he's not going to. And he said last night, if it wasn't for his bunt singles last year, he hit 300 exactly. If it wasn't for his bunt singles, he would have hit 291. What if we took out all infield hits from Nicky Lopez? What did he hit last year? 240? I mean, I don't know. I don't remember the last time I saw him get a hit out of the infield. It's Major League Baseball. You can't do it. Here's a fun one in the heading of under the radar. The state of Missouri has passed a bill. It's on Governor Parson's desk that allows coaches at the University of Missouri and Missouri schools to negotiate, arrange, and barter money deals for players in name, image, and likeness. How far behind is the NCAA that the state of Missouri is passing a law that says, yeah, we'll let your coach work out a deal for you. You want to get paid? Coaches will help you. So a coach can call up a sponsor and say, hey, my guy's playing really good right now. You got $5,000 for him? Sure, a lot of donors will do that. Sure, he'll do a Twitter video for me, right? Yeah, done. Great. He'll do it for my charity. He'll do it for my business, whatever it may be. Sure. How much does that player need? I have a couple of friends that a few years ago, Bruce Weber asked him, hey, can you guys kick in like $2,500 each? We want to send this player to Europe to play in the summer and go on this travel league thing to improve his skill and get better. And we're not allowed to send him there, but somehow you are, whatever. And they did it. I'm like, okay. And I say this all the time, and it angers a lot of old school college donors. You are wasting your money donating your money to your college athletic department. My advice to you, if you love your college, is to pay the players. Don't give it to them so they can paint the wall on the baseball field or something like that. Oh, we're getting a new scoreboard for the volleyball team or something. No, those budgets are huge. The state taxpayers support the schools in major ways. There are whales that support the athletic departments, and athletic departments get all kinds of millions and millions of dollars from TV deals and sponsorships and athletic companies. They can function on their own. And if they don't have enough money from you to function on their own, they need to fix their own budget. If you want to help your school win, pay players. Give it directly to the kids. That's where we are right now. And in Missouri, Governor Parson's going to sign into law the ability for coaches to just do the deals for the players. So in the off season right now, the coaches aren't real busy. They could literally just start calling donors. They could robocall. Say, hey, send us some money. We got a lot of players here that need some money. Send us some money, and we'll make sure that if you have a favorite player, tell us who it is. We'll have them do a video for you. Send us $2,500, and we'll have them do a Twitter video for you, and we'll pay them. Missouri has said, That's legal. We'll let the coaches do that within the departments at the schools. Well, the NCAA is not going to like that, but the NCAA is so far behind this. How can it be illegal if it's a state law in Missouri that it's legal? The whole thing's a mess. And speaking of money, I've got a buddy who went to Nashville a few weeks ago, and he complained that the beers in Nashville at a lot of the places were $12 or $14. You go into one of these. Now, they don't have cover charges. They have great bands. You walk in, you get free entertainment, which I always look at it and go, yeah, these drinks are expensive, but dang, that band is really good. And there was no $20 per person cover charge. So there's some value to this, okay? There's some value to this. But they all went. There's a bunch of people I knew went, and every single one of them complained about how expensive Nashville's gotten. I'm like, true enough. No doubt, no question, it's expensive. I won't argue that in any way. The hotel rooms are out of control. Hotel rooms are out of control everywhere, as are plane tickets. It's price gouging now. A lot of that going on. So it's happening. And all I've heard the last couple of weeks since they all came back is how expensive it was. He's going to the PGA Championship in Tulsa this week to see Tiger Woods. He loves Tiger. Wants to go see Tiger Woods. I sent him a text earlier today that he's not only going to pay a cover charge. It's more than that. You're buying your ticket to go in. So the entertainment isn't free like Nashville. You're paying big money to go in. A Michelob Ultra at the PGA Championship this week is a record for a golf tournament in the United States, and probably for a sporting event, to be honest. This is going to be a record. PGA Championship is charging, if you want one beer, one Mich Ultra, $18. You want to go big time and get a Stella? $19. You want to have a salad for lunch? $16. A cheeseburger, not a cheeseburger meal, not with fries, not with a drink, not in a basket. A cheeseburger is $14. I'm guessing it's not very big. There's your prices at the PGA Championship this week in Biden's America. And I'm not defending Biden or the Democrats in any way. I'm glad they're not smart enough to play this up because I do believe this. I believe there is price gouging going on everywhere. I believe companies are like, hey, this is great. Everybody's blaming COVID. Everybody's blaming Putin. Everybody's blaming Biden. Everybody's blaming everyone else. I can add a dollar to this. I'm going to raise it a dollar because I can do it right now. I think there's a lot of that going on that you can't prove it. I guess we'll see it in company profits. I do think we're going to see a lot of company profits that are continuing to be really, really high because they have no qualms raising prices. Now, I've given you some examples. I got a lot of retweets at Chipotle last week when I said it was $13.83 to eat at Chipotle. I don't eat out lunch very often, but I went to the dog park with my dog yesterday, and I drove by a sandwich shop called Capriati's, and I went in there, and I got a chicken sandwich. And I said, I don't have anything to drink. I've got no water in my car. We've been to the dog park. I need a cup of water. I'm going to eat on the sidewalk with my dog. I'm going to get him some water. I said, so I need a drink with this as well. So I get the combo, and it was $15 for the combo. That's like a bag of chips as your side. Ridiculous. So, yes, is the price of meat going up? Is everything going up? Yes, all that. There's no line at Chipotle anymore. Like, people have decided that's too much. Or if I go out to lunch, if I used to go out three times a week to lunch, now I'm going one. People are making decisions because the lines aren't there. But there are certain things that you have to have. You have to have gas. I don't think we're getting gouged that much. They could charge a dollar more. I'd buy the same amount. I drive when I need to drive. I just would. Groceries. Are they 50 cents more for this item? 25 cents more for that? Probably. Do we know it? I don't know. I think we're just going to see a lot of profits. I think Walmart's going to have record profits. I think Costco's going to get, I think a lot of them are going to do this. I think they are. And I think the PGA is going to have a sold out tournament. And they're going to sell so many $18 beers they can't see straight. That's price gouging. I'm sorry. That's price gouging. They could sell those easily for $12 and make a lot of money. They're selling them for $18 because they can. Now, part of that strategy with the board is maybe people will drink fewer beers. We don't want a bunch of drunks out here. Maybe that's part of the strategy. You would rather sell fewer beers at $18 than more beers at $12, for sure. And so that's what they're doing. Tip of the cap to my friend, Dr. Bill Bush at NKC Dental. My father-in-law is headed there. He's had a little difficulty with his dentist. We were talking about it this weekend. He said, I want to go see Dr. Bush. I've heard you talking about it, so you're going to love it. Dr. Bush got him right in. He's going tomorrow. And he's got something he's got to get taken care of. And Dr. Bush will. NKCDental.com. He did not do it as a father-in-law favor. You got a problem, they get you right in. If you need to get in, they'll get you in right away. You just tell them, I got some pain, I got this. They'll go, we'll move you, we'll get you in now. They're so efficient and good at what they do. You're going to love your new dentist. North Kansas City Dental, Dr. Bill Bush, 816-471-2911. And play more golf. I'm going to be playing on Sunday. It looks like it's going to be beautiful this Sunday. GreatLifeKC.com has golf courses all over the metro. Also, Wichita and Lake of the Ozarks throughout the Midwest. GreatLifeKC.com. Golf and fitness memberships all over Kansas City with signature clubs like Canyon Farms, Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms in KC, Tallgrass Club in Wichita, Osage National at the Lake of the Ozarks. Log on to GreatLifeKC.com to learn more. And live your great life on the golf course with Great Life KC. Headed to Kauffman Stadium on this Tuesday afternoon. I will report back and let you know how it goes with my mom. I'll probably take a picture, put it on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at KK Has Issues. Don't be afraid of Twitter. It's getting better every day. Or Truth Social. I'm on there as well. Log on to Truth Social. It's at KK Has Issues. Very easy. And again, if you ever want to email me, if you have a question about any sponsors or any of the programming or anything about the podcast, feel free. It's Kevin at kkhasissues.com. We're all in this together. Let's go make America great. Make a difference today. Thanks for listening. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.